So what's going on?
Pastor.
I just heard this saying that was kind of ringing a bell for me.
There's a saying that is ringing a bell for you.
Yeah. As I'm not sitting on the retreats, I'm getting these insights. But what conditioning is trying to do to kind of like, wow, this is so big, I need to...
So you're getting these insights.
Yeah.
And conditioning wants to get very excited about them. Wow, this is so big.
Let's go talk about it.
Let's do talk about it?
Yeah, let's think about it.
Oh, think about it.
Yeah. What that means. How the thing's going to be different.
Yeah.
There, here,
what it means for the future.
Yeah.
What it means for the past.
And
how it's going to change the future of humanity. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well.
Not quite.
Have time to go that far.
The retreat is not over.
So what I'm seeing that it's impossible to hold on to the insights.
Yes, it's impossible to hold on to the insights.
Yeah.
And I hope what you're going to say next is, and we don't want to. Mm-hmm.
Say more about that.
Well, that's what happened to us, right? That's how conditioned mind got into the mess that it's in, is holding on to things. So it holds on to stories about stuff, holds on to things that happened to us. It's created this, I think we were talking about it, Rebecca and I were talking about it at one point, a tapestry. Okay, so there's a little of this and a little of that, and then that, and then that, and then that, and it puts all this stuff together that actually has nothing to do with anything, except it's all in the same tapestry, and I call it mine, right? And then once it's there, then I need to, it takes a lot of upkeep, right? So I need to go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And we don't want to do that with the insights, because the thing about insights are fascinating, right? But they're process. They're not content. They never have anything to do with the what of it. So it's really, even though it's a different word, it's a matter of inciting. It's a process of seeing. And when we are seeing... It technically doesn't matter what we see. There will be the same clarity, the same kind of that goes with it, right? So as we have insights, which increasingly happens with practice, it does, because the more you're here, the more you see, okay? And so if we're here and we see, and then we go into conditioning, we want to put it somewhere, get it on our tapestry, and then we're no longer here. So then we stop seeing, which is what conditioned mind is going for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goes for conversation about that. Mm-hmm. So I, and also I'll be referring to the tapestry and going to conditioned mind.
That's right. You'll be looking to conditioned mind instead of being here.
Yeah.
So... there's nothing for conditioned mind here.
Well, it promised that it will bring that inside when the time is needed.
That's right. So if you just park it somewhere, then when it's time for it, you'll be able to just pull it right out. But the thing about it is, and we all know this, right? As soon as it happens, it's dead. Mm. And then what we're doing is dragging a carcass around, hoping that at some point we can bring it back to life and it's going to be meaningful. But once we get it, that what we're doing is seeing, and it's the seeing that we want to be doing, okay, then we're happy to have the insight and let it go, realizing that right behind it is the next one.
Well, what about I'm making recordings, trying to remember that insight?
Well, recording your insight. So you want to do it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Right? While it still feels fresh and alive. Mm. And so you record it. And what happens when you listen to it is that you go to that same place of insight. Mm. Because you're not referring to a memory. Mm. You're not going to conditioned mind. It's a direct experience in the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you see why I'm so crazy about recording and listening? Yeah? So you never... what you're doing is... it's like, you have a favorite piece of music. And so you get a recording of that so that you can listen to it whenever you want. Then you get another one. Then you get another one. Now you've got a whole collection, right? And you can listen to them anytime you want, right? And that's what you're doing with recording and listening and insights. So anytime you want to, you can listen to that and you can go to that experience now. Not your experience of then, but your experience of then now. Yeah?
Alright. Thank you.
Yeah, Janice and then Mark.
That really was helpful because I realize when I'm recording, sometimes there's an excitement because it feels like insights dropping in. And I actually hear conditioning.
Can everybody hear her?
I actually hear conditioning say, that's enough, press stop.
Uh-huh.
And I don't, but it's like I'm recording. I think, it almost kind of cuts through whatever the insight is to pause and kind of go like, oh, uh-huh. Well, that's enough.
Right, what you can do is say, and... the voice just came in and said, push stop and stop recording.
Yes.
But I'm not going to because I'm really excited about what I'm seeing. Conditioning is...
Yeah, it's really like trickery right there. And so that's what I've been able to use... what it says to do the opposite. It's a key to keep going,
yes.
Whether there's another insight or not. I'm just going
I
to keep recording.
I have nothing actually to talk about right now, but that voice told me to stop, so I'm going to keep talking.
Right.
I'm going to keep talking. Okay. Oh, that was an insight, wasn't it? Oh, I just had an insight about the... Yeah. Mark.
Well, I honestly did not have any preconceived notions about what this weekend was going to do or what it was going to be about other than the book. And I have been amazed so many times already, and we're only halfway through. And I know that before we are all the way through, we're going to get some tools which haven't been presented yet.
We can only hope, huh?
Well, I don't want to count on it.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying this is this is a human who has suffered greatly in this lifetime. And since coming to the practice and doing what we do over and over and over again, that level of suffering is nowhere near what I can remember. And what that does is it gives me a false sense that maybe there isn't anymore.
Yeah.
And what this weekend has done has allowed me to be able to see how suffering here and here and here and here, the various levels that suffering can be visited or obscure is many. And so to understand that I still have my core messages still operating today as they have always been operating was like an illumination. I never would have, I don't know how I ever would have gotten to that on my own.
Right. Well, we can know we wouldn't.
Yeah.
We just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because the draw to the tapestry is huge.
Yeah.
And that information is not on the...
set in place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's just not there. And so we wouldn't. And, you know, the other thing about that, that the argument that conditioning would like to make is, well, I mean, you've seen so much, right? And you're really pretty happy. I mean, life is good. You're happy. Everything is fine. Isn't this enough? But why? You know, why would we want to stop anywhere? If our experience is that life has just gotten better and better and better as we've continued to practice, why would we ever want to stop?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's never been a concern for me. It's not for me, it's not about stopping.
Uh-huh.
It's about how far can I go?
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm kind of getting more in touch with now,
uh-huh,
as opposed to, I will never quit.
Well, that's a given. Yes, then the sky's the limit, as they say. Yeah. 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 It's great.
I'd like to ask a little bit about the idea that of getting clear before I say something. You know, if it's a difficult situation, let me have a couple of minutes.
Can you hear? Yeah.
Let me have a couple of minutes and I'll get back to you. I actually said that.
Or a couple of hours or a couple of days.
Well, this is my point. I actually said that about, you know, this is so upsetting to me. I need to think. It's been 7 or 8 years. And I still, you know, I've forgotten all about the situation, but I've never gotten back to the person. And it plays right into my core message that I'm incompetent. So I could see the bamboozle of I need to work on this, work on this, work on this, and never have a conversation.
Uh-huh. What? And so you don't know what happened to the person?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well.
it's so much living out of my core message, mm-hmm, that's my concern now when I think about there's something I want to say to someone. Well, I need to get a little clearer on this.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get a little clearer.
Well, yes. So there's a difference between I need to get a little clearer on this and 7 or 8 years.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. That's, I'm saying that's how much this core message has been working on me.
Yes.
And I want to preempt it so it doesn't keep going for the next 7 or 8 years.
Yes, yes. Which you will.
Because I've just said it?
Yes,
oh.
Because you're aware of it. You weren't aware of it before.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, I talked to a couple of people about this. For us to see in practice how obsessed we are with getting it right. You don't have to be in Enneatype 1.
I know that.
You know, they have the reputation,
yep,
right? But it really, it's everybody, you know? So Zen is direct experience. That's what Zen is, right? That's why you get these things of these folks walking out of the room backwards with their slippers on their head. Mm-hmm. Because in the moment, that dropped in. And really, why not, right? And so as I, you know, kidded with people that as soon as I figure it all out, as soon as I get it right, then I'll have a direct experience,
mm-hmm,
right? Well, no. And so that happened to you. And now here you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you don't want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So you would like to be able to say, this is really upsetting for me. I'd like some time to be with this, and then I'll get back with you. Which is only one approach, right? I mean, the truly gutsy approach is just blurt it all out right there.
Really? Unedited?
Yeah, unedited. Mm-hmm. You'll learn a lot. Yeah. So
I might be alone a lot.
Well, you know, the assumption is that all of our manipulations, for lack of a better word for it, are serving us and our relationships better than this kind of radical honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And it assumes that other people, people around us, don't actually know what's going on with
us. Right.
Which is delusional.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because they do. Often better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they still stay around us.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. And there's always apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because we can always say, you know, having heard that, having heard myself say that, I realize...
Oh.
I might have made another choice if I really, but it's good to see. Clearly that's what happened then, right? And so we're so traumatized, and rightfully so. I mean, we've been traumatized by be who you are, and everybody comes at you.
Uh-huh.
So don't be who you are.
Right.
That's the obvious message. Try to be somebody else, and maybe you won't get in as much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is you'll be a lot more unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, as Ricky Nelson, you can remember
I do.
Yeah. If you can't please everyone, you might as well please yourself.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which, there's a certain amount of wisdom there. Right? So if we're busy trying to please everybody else and we're the only one really unhappy in the proposition,
mm-hmm.
then that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the assumption is that if you are who you really are, you will be displeasing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that
mm-hmm.
might have been true for your parents, but it's probably not true for the people around you now. And if there is somebody around you now who is going to be that displeased with how you really are, they will leave.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you want them around anyway?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all we can see all those assumptions
yeah.
that we're holding on
yeah.
to that keep the tapestry in place, but they don't actually serve anyone, and they don't make anyone happy.
Uh-huh. And that actually was your guidance in the Enneagram class for me. At one point, I said something about not being ready, and you said, just do it. You know, what's this
ready business?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can see how that fits into this
yeah. Yeah.
story of incompetency, and then I have to work harder, and then I'm never as enough, and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. And it just yeah. goes around and around and around and around. And now, there are some people here who are relatively young. Okay, and so they might give it a few decades before they reach the point that we might agree upon, which is, if it were going to work, it probably would have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so doing that same process
uh-huh.
over and
uh-huh.
over and over, you know, it just do something different.
Uh-huh.
So with that trauma about getting it right first, the net result of that is we don't get to have our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we're so careful trying to please this imaginary someone that is now turned into a voice inside our head
mm-hmm.
That we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that all the time, but the enormity of that is enormous.
Mm-hmm. That's something else I saw in the Enneagram class that I have... conditioning has a role play of what's going to happen, what they're going to say. If I
yes.
say something, what they're going to say.
Yes.
And it always goes through a train wreck, so I don't say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but it's all in my head.
And neither do they.
Right.
Right. They never get to say anything either.
Right.
Yeah.
So it never happened.
No, it never happens.
Except
the train wreck.
Right. Right.
Which serves to make us believe that what we're hearing inside our head is true.
Right.
Because, see, it's always a train wreck.
Right. Right, 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 right.
Well,
right.
Did anything ever actually happen? No.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So better to live a real train wreck than 10,000 imaginary train wrecks.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
At least it'll be memorable and exciting. You'll be there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Deanna.
My core belief is that if I'm not pleasing, I will be left. I'll be abandoned.
Okay, so the core belief, if you're not pleasing, you will be left.
I'll be lonely. But what I saw today is I'm lonely either way. If I'm false in trying to be pleasing, then I'm suffering a massive loneliness.
Yes.
And if I'm left, I'll be lonely. So it's like,
well, that you don't know. Right? That's kind of the imaginary train wreck. So you have to stay in the relationship and be phony so that the person will stay with you so that you won't be lonely. But of course you're lonely because they don't even know who they're staying with. But you know they're not staying with you.
Yeah. And it's not only relationships, it's jobs. I just see it in all different
yes.
aspects.
Yes.
It's not great, but I'm loyal. I'm going to stay and be pleasing because it's terrifying. Yeah, it's terrifying to think what it will be like without those things. But then, I'm just repeating it, but the loneliness of being in it and being false.
Yes, and it's so perfect because with what we have been looking at so far and what we always look at in practice, you're going to be lonely until you're with her. And that's just the bottom line. That's just how it is. All the jobs, all the partners, everything in the world is not going to change that. Which, if anybody has had a relationship, you might have noticed. Right? It doesn't do it. It just doesn't. It can't. It can't. And it's nobody's fault. Because what's happening is that we are being driven to this conclusion. You've got to save that one human being. And trying to be pleasing for somebody else is not going to save her. In fact, it's so awful because you will leave her trying to please somebody else so that they will stay with who? Not her. So it's tragic until we realize what our potential is. And then when you're with her, when that relationship is complete, then you can enjoy being with anyone or not. You're free.
So it's not just a being me with her. So I think where I've gotten stuck is there's me being with her, but then there's also trusting the universe to hold us, and that part is harder to trust. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that's because I project, and you just look at. Can people hear her? Mm-hmm. You heard her? Okay, because that's really important. When we look at life from the vantage point of egocentricity, there's separation. The separation is an illusion. There is no universe aside from you. You've always been held. Yeah? But that conversation makes us believe that there's some kind of danger and that we have to follow these directions because something could happen to us. But it can't. And your experience is that life has always, always cared for you. It didn't always give you what ego wanted, but any of us looking at our lives, certainly anybody sitting in this room, cannot deny that everything that happened to you was perfect for you. Because here we are. Yeah. So the trust I project that you're seeking is immediately there when you stop referencing that story.
When I don't think about trusting the universe, trust is there.
That's right. It's even bigger than that. When you don't think about whether or not to trust the universe, you are the trustworthy universe.
Yeah.
Can you get a sense of it?
Yes, I have a tone. I get a tone of it, but maybe a couple more sentences.
Well, you know, it's big, right? In a non-separate reality, we have to face the fact that there isn't anything else. And we are so conditioned to ego's dualistic view that it's almost impossible for us to realize that what we are is the seeing that sees the dualistic universe of ego. And it's realizing that and staying in that rather than leaving that clarity and to go into, well, yes, but what if, and that, and maybe, and I couldn't, and I don't know, and that whole conversation. The reason that, you know, we're so obsessive about dropping the conversation is that without that conversation, suffering is not possible. Because that conversation creates the illusion of somebody separate from life who can suffer. And it's very, very difficult. Because it does come down to needing to say yes to every single little damn thing in life. And all of our conditioning is, well, let me decide. You know, do I like that? Do I not like that? Do I want that? Do I not want that? Is that okay? Is that not okay? Does that feel good? Does that feel bad? But what we know when we stop and consider it is, there's no alternative. Right? So I don't like it. Okay.
Well, it's funny because I think I had an experience. I hated yoga all my life. And coming to the monastery and having yoga twice a day is like, yeah! And then I just did yoga the last couple days. And it's been fine.
Oh, you could hardly. I could see how you had to struggle to get that sentence out, right? Because ego really didn't want you to say it's been fine, right?
Yeah, but that's what's so weird. There hasn't been a conversation about. I mean, at first, when I saw it twice a day, you know, the voice was like, "Come on, come on, it's easy." And then I just did it.
Yes.
And then it's not even that it was fine. It was just.
Yes, you know? You did yoga. You did yoga, which is different from I hate yoga.
It felt like life did yoga.
Yes. That's my point.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah. And that's why we kid about I hate yoga. Well, don't do it then. You go for a walk. I'm going to yoga. Find a nice quiet place and meditate. It'll be good for you.
Yeah. Well, on the subject of resistance, it definitely made me think of the recorder and doing recording and listening. But to backtrack a little bit, something that's really come up to me on the retreat is a need to be perceived by other people as thoughtful and mindful, and that manifests itself in a couple different ways, but it mostly ends up with me being very quiet. And it was strange, because like these past 2-3 hours, so here I am coming to the retreat, I'm this very quiet person, this is all going to be perfect, this is just up my alley, and then these past 2-3 hours, I just felt this like need or this itch to like shout or to talk to someone. Not that I'm going to do it, but that's just something that's come up in me. And I was sitting with that, and I was thinking. Sorry, I'm kind of losing it. Okay, back to the recorder. So I was thinking, you know, if this was taking place in the outside world and not in this privileged environment at the retreat, how would this manifest itself? And it would just go to me going up to someone and blah 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 blah. We're going to have our little chat. And that itch is going to be like scratched, but it's not solving anything, right? And what the insight I had was, wow, you're really lucky to be here in this environment where you can actually sit with that, and you do have the tool to address that. You have the recorder, and that's who you need to talk to.
To
So yeah, it was something that dropped in for me.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah. So, as you know, with meditating, the itch and the scratch thing is really big, right? So when we announce to people that we don't move in meditation, it's like, and one of the first questions is, but what if something itches? And we say, well, that'll be a great opportunity. Right? And bless you. And people are not excited about that. But the power of realizing that, okay? So there is this impulse to talk, and I don't need to follow it.
Right. Right. And the tool, and we have the tool, right? We have the recorder.
Right.
And
bless you, bless you, bless you.
Yeah, it's amazing to have this tool. And ego will turn it into something that it's completely not. And there's actual proof of this. I was at the Murphy's Monastery on a Thursday night during group, and I heard full-time residents of the monastery referencing the mentor. And I thought the mentor was actually like a person. So I was like, okay, they have a...
When's a mentor coming? Is that on a Thursday night or is that another night?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. We don't think about what these things sound like to somebody.
Yeah. But it was a real conversation that I actually carried on for like a couple weeks, that these people literally have a mentor and that's why they can do the practice. And that's why I can't do the practice. And lo and behold, I read a book or something on, wow, well, that was a shock for ego, you know? How do you get around that? But yeah, the proof that it's literally lying about, like,
everything.
Everything.
Sure. That's so important to catch on to. It's literally lying about everything.
Right.
Yeah. Rebecca, and then Jen.
So I was so moved by what you said last night about the people, the trio. Mm. And that conversation about the non-separate reality, I think, speaks to what I saw, and that is that I had this belief, and it was reinforced by all these Christian mystics I've been reading all these years, that the way to real enlightenment is to love God with all your heart. Love God, love God, love God, love God, love God. And there is this trio, and God was not one of the three in the trio by name, right? And what I got was that, I mean, this is like one of those hidden in plain sight things, but it just shows how deep the conditioning is that when I am so in tune with the authentic human as the practitioner and getting those two together, that's loving God.
I could not disagree.
Mm-hmm. What was the last?
Being the practitioner and working to facilitate the relationship between the mentor and the authentic human being is loving God.
Because, you know, it's like, and what I was saying on the recorder was, wow, it's just a lot closer to home than I thought.
Well, and, you know, I have a certain affinity for those same Christian saints. And what you get, so there's this whole thing in Judeo-Christian theology, I guess we could say, that there's a separation. There's God, and then there's us, right? But those saints, when you start really looking at what they're saying, they don't seem to be having that experience. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Yeah, so there's all that rhetoric about, and, you know, and God is, and then you St. Teresa of Avila, or my favorite, of course, Meister Eckhart, which Catholics almost didn't catch up with, but That's not what they're saying. That is, they are definitely not having an experience of some white-haired, bearded old dude out there on the other side of the whatever.
Or even some airy-fairy universal spirit. You know, it's not like it's none of that. It is. But when I read those through the eyes of the conditioning, I can see it on that page.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, and that's the extreme. That's the, I've got to, what's the opposite of it? I've got to unattune to that.
Yes.
And reattune.
Yes.
To her.
Yes. To your actual experience.
To my actual experience. Mm-hmm. And that's where this, you know, you said something a few weeks ago about how your relationship with recording and listening can change. And that, I'm seeing that happening, and it's moving from content to process in a way. Because I mean, I have all my recordings down the back, where they come backed up in three different places. I mean, I guard those like they're the Fort Knox, you know. And there's a real, you know, attachment.
we could call it that.
But what I'm saying is that I'm losing that attachment because I feel myself slipping more into the process of benefiting from what was just described. That it's not. I mean, those are like, I totally get what you're saying on the inside. And yes, you go right there, and they're precious. And just the, what am I trying to say? It's just the process itself takes us where we want to be.
Yes. There's nothing to cling to, and there's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
It's just what you're seeking is always with you. And so you can't lose it. It is you. And the reason, of course, that so often people feel like they lose it is that they are separate from themselves because they're in that conversation. But when you are present with yourself, then you can't be separate from anything.
That's the last piece that I was seeing after these afternoon workshops of what I, you know, is that, let's see, those questions that we've been asked to look at are such perfectly constructed portals into the person, the attuning to the person that we are. That I just, first of all, I just like marveled at the exquisite questions that we get to ask, that we are given to use to ask, and actually finding myself wanting to practice cultivating more of those for myself because they are so helpful, you know. Mm-hmm. But that aside, it's just so much closer than I thought.
Yes.
I really saw there's this sense
really
of like okay
to
yeah
the
to protect
balcony.
There's this sense of like it's going away right now, but I really saw that I was in this experience, and the information, and usually the condition process would be, you know, this isn't going well, there's something that I'm doing wrong, how do I need to fix it, and going into all of that. And what I realized was the only thing that was off or not going well was I was listening to the conversation. I mean, I really got it. You know, I know we say this all the time, but I was like, I really got it. That's what's happening. It's just a conversation is pulling me away and then trying to make me feel bad and tell me that I'm screwing something up because it is what took me away from being here.
Yes.
Like I saw it. I was
yes.
like, this is what we're always talking about.
But it doesn't matter, right? We only talk about it. It's like, okay, so you go down there and you make a left turn, and then you go down to Willow Road, and then you get down there and you make a right turn at 101 and head to San Jose. Okay? Now, we would only need to tell you that because you don't know how to get to San Jose, mm-hmm. right? And so at a certain point, you go, oh, this could be a song, couldn't it? I really wasn't going there when I started out. So there you are, and it drops in. Oh, I know where it is. Oh, I know. Now that's the only moment that counts. Everything was preparation for that moment when it's yours, because you discovered it for the first time in the history of humanity.
That's how it felt.
Oh,
it was like,
absolutely.
This is the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was just so helpful because I know, again, we look at that a lot and I sort of touch into it, that place of like, it's just not helpful. And man, is the training to just go to it, even though, you know, I know it's not helpful. We talk about that all the time. But just really seeing that was the only thing in that moment that was unhelpful. That was that.
It was the only thing that was wrong.
It was the only thing that was wrong. Exactly.
Yeah,
it was wrong. Whatever we say, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It was so
well, we say it in a lot of different ways, but we're always saying the same thing. But that's it. The only problem, the only thing that's wrong, the only thing distressing here is that conversation in my head.
Yeah.
Nothing else. That conversation falls away. Everything is fine.
Yeah. And then it's such a different place. It's just the practice of, I mean, just, but, you know, the practice of, so I just don't want to listen to that. Not, you know, the other, okay, so what's wrong with me and how do I fix it and be better in the future? And, you know, this whole thing.
Well, and I know what the answer is. But I can't do it because there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
See, all roads lead back to there's something wrong with me, right? And so to realize, aha, I see the loop. And so it's not that there's anything wrong with me. There isn't anything to fix. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to do that.
Yes.
It's not that I shouldn't do it, but I have to because I'm trying to fix myself.
Right.
Right? I don't want to do it because I see it's bogus.
Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're multiple. Really going to have to speak up from the front row, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good woman.
All right. Well, there's been lots of conversation in my head recently about saying this, but it's just come up multiple times for me today, like, when people ask me how I'm doing or what's going on, I have no idea. Like, I'm like, you're talking to me? I was just here, like, hanging out with my buddy Risa, like, feeling the air. And if I do have a story about what's going on with me, it's just a story.
Well, and the problem with saying, well, I'm just here hanging out with my buddy Risa. I have a story, which explains why the guy walked out of the room backwards with his slippers on his head. He didn't have a story either. Yeah. So that assumption. What's going on with you, Sherry? Not much. I could make up something if you need me to talk about something. I can certainly talk about something, but do I have anything to talk about? Not really. No. Yeah. If that's actually so. Because sometimes it isn't, right? Sometimes there's a lot of stuff going on, and then we can talk about that. But if there's nothing going on, there's no reason to entertain anybody. Yeah, you can just say, as far as I can tell, nothing. Now, give me a minute. I could look a little deeper here, but your turn. Yeah? Would that feel uncomfortable?
No, I mean, I pretty much do that. I'm like, not much.
Yeah.
It was interesting today in the exercise of diagramming a conversation about to see what you expected to get out of the conversation. How like that was just a perfect canvas, because someone was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I was like, and then I got to see, like, you know, the cartoon has one frame. It's like, "Hey, what's up?" And then the rest is just like everything ego has to say about, like, not having anything to say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Which is what you get to see when you stay in that nothing. Right? Because there may not be anything going on with you, but it's doubtful that there's nothing going on here. Yeah, because if it doesn't have anything to say about you, it's going to have a lot to say about what the other person thinks about you, what's going on with them, right? Which you can report or not, but you'll get to see it. Jodine.
I made a two-handed recording today.
Well, congratulations.
Both parts.
Wow. How was that?
It was really helpful. It was extremely helpful.
That's why it hasn't happened before, don't you think?
Well, like I said, I have all these part ones. And no part twos. Today, the part one was 2 minutes long. And the part two, which I did immediately, even though a voice was saying, maybe think about it, do it later.
7 or 8 years later.
was 5 minutes. And it was like, it totally disidentified through the process.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Penny.
I was thinking about what was just said about the process is really close to us, actually. And what arose for me today was when you're talking about the one person we have to save. And so on my desk, I have this photograph that was taken of me when I was just not quite 2 years old. And I'm sitting on a bureau brushing my hair, which was longer then. And this little kid is so pleased with herself. And I love this kid. I just love her. And what I was seeing was that...
Can you hear okay?
Yeah. Okay. That she's fine.
She's fine.
So she's fine. And that she doesn't need to be saved. And that what needs saving is all those sort of distorted parts of me that developed in response to the social conditioning, and what they have to be saved from is just that weight of all that.
Yes.
And that they all, like, position themselves between her and the world with their backs to her. Mm-hmm. And what practice offers is for those people to be relieved of that burden, and for me to come back to her as an adult.
Yes.
And be with her. And
yes.
Neither of us needs saving, and both of us are just gone.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely so. Perfect. Let's see. I'm going to ask Deepa.
After guidance today, I was emotional, but went about the day, and it finally broke, and I spoke to you about the indignation not coming, and the rage arrived. So I'm very grateful. I'm not surprised in this practice that I'm looking in one direction and something else comes sneaking through the back door. I'm just so grateful that it has happened in this environment where I feel fully supported. I think I know what to do in terms of talking to the recorder. But the moment it arrived, I can see clearly the trajectory of how the exercises led to one thing, which led to another, which led to the guidance, and you reflecting something for me that was obscure from my So when you came and asked what is going on for you in this moment, it was just yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I wanted to
You're not hearing.
No.
They're not hearing a thing over there. Okay, so seeing all of this build up, seeing the connections being made, and then we have a talk, and something is reflected back to you that you hadn't actually put together, hadn't seen in that way, and didn't see then, but subsequently you have.
It's kind of stunning, both from a content perspective and a process.
So it's stunning both from a content and a process perspective. So is it kind of a feeling like there's this new thing, right? Yes. So you're kind of going along in life and now suddenly there's this new thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And how to be. And you said you think you have a sense of...
Just going back to guidance from last night at group, which was the recording and listening practice. Mm-hmm. So now I know that when in doubt, pick up the recorder.
Yes.
And then when I listen to it, if there's support available.
Yes. Yes.
And to trust the process.
Yes, exactly. That's key.
I am nervous. I am very scared that this new thing that's come along, completely obscured from you, will take over energetically.
So, feeling nervous that this new thing that has come along will take you over energetically. It'll just consume you.
Yes, and bamboozle me because I'm in the ego scrambling. It's a quick, slippery slope to that place.
Uh-huh.
But it's the environment. I'm still going to be in this environment for another 3 days.
Yes.
And so the invitation is fully there.
Yes.
To stay present.
Yes. Yes. To stay present. To stay with her. And the key thing that you said is to trust the process, because when we look at our lives, there are very few people I've ever met who have said, "Oh yeah, it's been great. It's been a cakewalk. It's just fabulous. I don't really know what people complain about." You know, for just about everybody, it's a pretty rugged trip, and every step of the trip is a requirement. Because if it weren't, we wouldn't be having it, right? And so the things that we have to face when we come to practice, we have to face because we didn't face them before. And usually those are the very things that drove us to practice, right? So it is a place to encounter everything and to face it and to go through it. And will you be a completely different person on the other side of it? Yes, absolutely. I can guarantee it'll be a person you'll like. Is this true for most of you? Is it ever? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So, yeah. Gully. And then Joyce. I saw Joyce.
wanted to thank you for the message last night to do the 200 recordings, because I've had a lot of resistance to it. Huge. And at some point, my Zen coach said, you know, if you can't overcome this resistance, I don't really know what we're going to do.
Well, I don't know what we are going to do with you.
Yes. And I have this fear of abandonment. So I thought, okay.
Okay. Which usually, Goli, I don't know if this happened to you, but what that usually translates into is, I'm still not going to do the two-handed recording, but I'm going to live in terror. I'm going to feel bad and still not do it. Right?
Yeah. So yesterday, Ashwini invited us to do, you know, responding to our two recordings. So I was the first one into dinner. I was the first one out of dinner. And I did, I responded to the two recordings we had made earlier. And the mentor said, so the issue that came up was not being enough. So the mentor said, I want you to write it, you know, in terms of lines, like when we were had to be punished in school. So I started writing, you know, I am enough, I'm good enough, I'm this enough, I'm that enough. And then I started thinking, well, what is enough? You know, I just didn't understand, as I shared with you in our...
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, like, what is enough? You know, like, for me, you know, as an adult, and I realized there's really no definition for enough. You know, there's no clarity here. Mm-hmm. And it just turned everything on its head. And so I wanted to share that. That, you know, I really appreciate that. And then I was reminded of your teacher's advice that nothing, what was it, nothing survives under scrutiny?
Yeah, nothing would stand up under scrutiny.
Yes. And, you know, like a lot of these things, I love words, so I write them down, but I don't really know what it means, but it sounds so exotic, you know, so I write it down. And then I got it, that, okay, like this is scrutinizing enough, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just dissolving.
Yeah, it just dissolves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's such a perfect picture of how ego does what it does to us, because it keeps us so engaged in this conversation that we can't kind of get our bearings enough to say, what are you saying? What does that mean? What? We're just caught in the story. Yeah. So what is enough? Yeah. It's such a non-word, isn't it? Yeah. So that's great. So yes, you are enough. Yes. Whatever the hell that means. Joyce.
Well, when we started out this time, you said something, and I sat down with someone. And I had my recorder, and it's like I don't know, I can't remember anything. I don't even know what the question was at this point. But I reached for my journal because I felt like I needed to do something, and I pulled it out to look at something so I could have an answer. What I said was not an answer. And boy, did conditioning jump on that. And then I told the story.
And then what?
And then, you know, then I told the story about what I saw written on that page. Uh-huh. So what I can get from that is to just be satisfied with what appeared. It's the truth.
Yes. Yes. And the more you practice with that, the more you'll see, the more will be available. Okay? Because we don't see, because the space where we would see is all filled up. Mm. It's all filled up with nonsense. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, if we drop that, in the beginning, it's, you know, just little gaps. Just little gaps, little gaps, little gaps. But the more we allow those little gaps to be there, the insights start coming in, start dropping in. We see something, we're here. We see something, we realize something. Where's, okay? So then we get to the point where, well, first of all, you know, we realize, okay, that's not helping me, right? That conversation is not something I want to be engaged in. So what is the alternative? It seems like there's nothing there. Okay, well, let's go with that then. And suddenly we realize that that what was perceived, what was called nothing, and in the beginning was perceived as nothing, is actually everything.
And I've had that experience in what comes out of my mouth is not me.
Yes. Exactly so. Which is why we want to develop the habit of just letting things come out. Because as long as we're in control, then ego is going to be in control. So as those of you who have been around for a while know, the reason that I like people to be in a position of facilitation is to have that experience of being completely out of control in terms of knowing what's going to come out of your mouth, right? Somebody is there, they say something to you. You know, I mean, we come in here, whoever is sitting in this position, you have no idea what people are going to say. None. There's no preparing for it. So as soon as you get past the absolute terror of saying something so incomparably stupid that that you're going to have to kill yourself as soon as group is over, you know, then it's kind of easy. And it's interesting. And the more you let go, the more is there. When you're sitting on a cushion like this, you're kind of required. Somebody said this earlier, it's harder to do on your own. Marks in that. Yeah? It's much harder to do on your own because that system is there monitoring, constantly watching to make sure that you say what it says to say. And that what you say is, of course, judged to be wrong anyway. But it doesn't matter. At least you said what it told you to say. Right? So, yeah. It's a wonderful practice to realize exactly what you said, that when you're simply present and you let life speak through you, it's not you. So we know that that voice of ego, when we see it in that, somebody else was telling me that today, they're just hearing it so loud and clear, and it's so obviously not me. You know, it just says something and you go, right? Does everybody know that experience, right? It's so obvious that it's not you. And it's a startling moment of realizing that, right, that's not me. I hear it. I'm not saying it, right? And the next one that you get to is what's coming through you is not you. And it's not that. And that's the best. That's proof positive.
Are you referring to the ego, or are you referring to the mentor when you say?
Well, the ego is this one, right. Yeah, and the other one that I was referring to is the intelligence that animates.
So that you okay?
Yeah, when life is speaking through you.
When you are present.
Yes. Yeah, present with probably all capital letters in that case. All right. Oh, Michael.
I was struck in the email class responses how many were like, you know, I froze and I didn't say anything. It seems like that was a common experience. And the sense I get from what you were just saying is that if I'm clear enough that, you know, it's not going to be really judgmental or critical, I just need to start talking because it's going to be relevant to the conversation. And sometimes as I talk, I get kind of clued in. So it was just, it's just interesting to me to see how ego controls me in that way, not to say anything, when actually I could just start talking about myself.
Yes.
As I've heard you say before, as long as I'm talking about myself, then, you know, it's hard for me to screw up.
Yes.
But I don't start with you always or you never.
Right.
You know, I'm probably not doing too much damage.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly so. Yeah. And of course, what follows on the heels of that is no judgment.
Right.
Right? No reviews, no, you know, you just said what you said, that happened, and then you wait. And if there's information from the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates you, if there's something for you to know, it'll drop in. There'll be an insight, but no reviews, no analysis of how you did. That, those two things will change a person's life.
Mm-hmm. Letting it flow through and not taking any reviews.
Yep.
Because, positive or negative.
Exactly. Yeah. No, God, that was brilliant. Because it might not have been. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Do we have anything? Oh, yay. Thank you.